Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kishore Kishori ki jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai. Lord Chaitanya Lord Nityananda ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are nearing the end of the particular section we've been reading, the Brahmana's Wives Blessed. So it's Canto 10, Chapter 23, and the text for today is 48 and 49. So we will chant 48 together.
Desha kalaha prithak dravyam. Mantra tantra dvijo guyaha. Devata yagnan anascha. Kratu dharmascha yam mayaha. Desha kalaha prithak dravyam. Mantra tantra vijognayaha. Devata yagmanascha. Kratu dharmascha yanmayaha. Desha kalaha prithak dravyam. Mantra tantra vijo gnayaha. Devata yagna manascha. Kratur dharmascha yamayaha.
Please chant.
Desha kalaha prithak dravyam. Mantra tantra vijogna. Devata yagmanascha. Kratu dharmascha yamayaha. Desha kalaha prithak dravyam. Tantra tantra dvijokaya. Devata yagmanascha. Kratur dharmascha yanmaya.
Okay. I'll chant the next verse, 49. Sa eva bhagavan shakshad vishnur yogeshvareshvaraha yato yadushoti arts ashrinma hi api mudhana vidmahe. And we'll do the word for 49. Deshaha, the place. Kalaha, time. Prithak dravyam, particular items or paraphernalia. Mantra, Vedic hymns. Tantra, prescribed rituals. Ritvija, priests. Agnayaha, and the sacrificial fires. Devata, and the presiding demigods. Yajnamanaha, the performer. Cha, and Kratu,
the offering. Dharmaha, the pious reaction. Cha, and. Yat, whom. Mayaha, constituting. So the translation for 48 and 49 is as follows. All the aspects of sacrifice, the auspicious place and time, the various items of paraphernalia, the Vedic hymns, the prescribed rituals, the priests and sacrificial fires, the demigods, the patron of the sacrifice, the sacrificial offering, and the pious results obtained. All are simply manifestations of his opulences. Yet, even though we had heard that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, the Lord of all mystic controllers, had taken birth in the Yadu dynasty, we were so foolish that we could not recognize Sri Krishna to be none other than him. And there's no purport, or there's a little commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, so I'll come to that. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamlam Sri Yuta Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Krishna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devan Chirada Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishaka Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Ramapada Swami Dinamine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So there's literally a one-line commentary on this verse by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and this is what he says. The Brahmana's bewilderment is further explained in these verses. So there are several verses where they're explaining something of their puzzlement. So this is what they say in this verse. The Vedic ceremonial paraphernalia, the suitable place, the suitable time, the different grades of articles performing the ritualistic ceremonies, the Vedic hymns, the process of sacrifice, the priest who is able to perform the sacrifice, the fire, the demigods, the performer of the sacrifice, and the religious principles are meant for understanding Krishna. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Supreme Lord Vishnu and the Lord of all mystic yogis. So this is how Srila Prabhupada, he's echoing what the Brahmanas have said, and he's particularly pointing to all these different components of sacrifice. They are meant for understanding Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada always makes a statement, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the Supreme Lord Vishnu. and he's the Lord of all mystic yogis. So if we were to analyze these various points that the Brahmanas are making, we could say that the process of sacrifice, and this means that also the oblations that are offered to the Pitriloka, that oblation that's offered is often in the form of ghee, and it's it's almost considered a kind of drug. So Krishna is this, is, or the sacrifice performed to please the Pitriloka. This particular aspect is what we're going to look at. So Krishna himself, he highlights the significance of one component of such a sacrifice. So this sacrifice that's for the Pitriloka, it's called the Shraddha ceremony. And it's within that ceremony that one offers oblations to one's forefathers. And that this statement that offering should be given to my devotee, and whatever my devotee has offered to me should be accepted. So this is the mood, and one could say the principle that Krishna is putting forward. And Srila Prabhupada paraphrases this in a purport in Bhagavad Gita 8:15. Oh, no, actually, yeah. So this is a very interesting thing, because it's actually the crux of the problem for the Brahmanas. If Krishna is saying that offerings should be given to my devotees and whatever my devotee has offered should be accepted, so there's this problem that the Brahmanas had failed to actually give to the devotees of Lord Krishna. So this is the crux of the whole problem, and it's the pivotal principle when one's offering oblations in a sacrifice and making an offering. So there's a nitty-gritty connected to this particular point, and Narada Muni, he does a whole breakdown of the way sacrifice should be done. And this is how Narada Muni puts it. During the period for offering oblations to the demigods, one should invite only two brahmanas, and while offering oblations to the forefathers, one may invite three brahmanas, or in either case, only one brahmana will suffice. Even though one is very opulent, he should not endeavor to invite more brahmanas or make various expensive arrangements on those occasions. So this comes from Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, the 15th chapter, the 3rd verse. So the principle is that one needs to invite a first-class brahmana or Vaishnava, means a realized soul, to come to that sacrifice. And one can feed that Vaishnava or that realized soul while observing the ritualistic ceremony. So this is very, very interesting, because it's part of the bewilderment, which isn't stated by the Brahmanas themselves. They come to state that they failed to recognize Krishna, but they failed to recognize the very exalted entities who had come to them asking to receive foodstuff from them. So one can see from the particular principle laid out by Krishna that when one's performing this kind of ceremony, one needs to make sure that one is actually giving the foodstuff to a devotee. And Narada even breaks it down further that it should be a very understated affair. You know, you can invite one brahmana, at the most three brahmanas. And in this particular case, when the ritualistic brahmanas were making their offering, they had had various realized souls, the cowherd boys that come to them asking for some foodstuff, part of the offering. And they had actually ignored the presence of these self-realized souls. So not only not have fed them, but ignored their presence. It means they weren't recognizing the position of Vaishnavas. Now, if we consider this fact that the brahmanas are saying that the process of sacrifice allows one to understand Krishna. I mean, this is the point they're making. So one can understand that Krishna puts emphasis on feeding the realized Vaishnava. So that which is offered to him at the time of the Shraddha ceremony, for instance, and from Narada, one understands this principle that there shouldn't be any excessive expenditure connected to inviting many brahmanas and relatives, especially during the Shraddha ceremony, when it's been performed. So in the brahmanas' case, they had been conducting a ritual for elevation to the higher planets. So the principles are the same. So this is the crux of the problem that was there for the brahmanas, or these ritualistic brahmanas. Now, with regard to the Vedic hymns, being meant to help in understanding Krishna, as is stated by the brahmanas, Krishna himself says this, and this comes from Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, the 16th verse. Krishna says, "I am the transcendental chant." So there are the mantras that are chanted in connection to the performance of sacrifice. And if these Vedic mantras are chanted properly, the desire for which a sacrifice is being performed means that that desire will be fulfilled. The sacrifice will be successful. So the mantras need to be chanted properly. And there's an example given to illustrate this. It's earlier on in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 9th canto in the first chapter, where Manu is conducting a sacrifice, and he says to the chief priest, "Now offer oblations." And the person in charge of the oblations, he took the clarified butter that the Brahmin has mentioned here in a similar way, the sacrifice is being conducted, and he takes the oblations of, he takes the clarified butter to offer oblations. And then, I mean, here the Brahmin has mentioned that, you know, even the person who's qualified to perform those oblations, in this particular sacrifice is mentioned in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the person who's about to offer oblation, he remembers the request of Manu's wife. And Manu's wife had said that she wanted a daughter. And Manu himself, he wanted many sons. So what happened at the moment when that qualified person was going to offer oblations with the clarified butter or the ghee, He remembered the request of Manu's wife. So it wasn't the same as the request of Manu. So he then chanted the word Vasat. So it was part of the mantra for bringing about the desired result of a child that was to be born. But the father had wanted sons, the mother wanted a daughter. So the qualified person offered oblations, chanted the mantra beginning with Vasat, and the mantra recited, it began with Vasat, and that sacrifice, which had begun for the sake of begetting a son, it turned out, because the priest was diverted by the request of Manu's wife, a daughter was born. So in that particular occasion, the king, he remarked to the brahmanas. So this is very interesting, because just like the brahmanas here are observing, these are all these various components of sacrifice are so important. The king remarked to the brahmanas in this other sacrifice that there should not have been such a reversal of results. And the reason he gives is that the brahmanas were all expert in chanting the Vedic mantras. So it means that they know how to chant the Vedic mantras, therefore the purpose of the sacrifice should be what was expected. So the king found that, oh, what happened? They all know how to chant the mantras, but a son wasn't born, a daughter was born. So we know why that happened. Just slight diversion in thinking on the part of the person offering oblations. Now, Srila Prabhupada states, in this particular age that we're living in, says, not like in the previous age that the brahmanas are describing the sacrifice, actually no one can properly chant Vedic mantras. It means that there has to be such purity that the purpose for which the sacrifice is performed, it will be achieved. So the implication is that the performance of yagya is forbidden in this age. Now, the understanding of Krishna through chanting of Vedic mantras, it is possible, however, in this age, because the most exalted of all the mantras is the Maha Mantra. So, just as an aside, we're looking at a fire sacrifice being performed here, but in the current age, the particular sacrifice that is the recommended sacrifice, and it's the means for understanding Krishna, is the Sankirtan Yagya. And the Sankirtan Yagya brings beneficial results, and it is the means for understanding Krishna. So these results are explained by Lord Chaitanya. I'm highlighting this just to contrast all this elaborate breakdown of the details of the fire sacrifice that the brahmanas are describing here, because it's in a different age. So in our current age, the beneficial results that come from the Sankirtan Yagya are explained by Lord Chaitanya. Means the heart is getting cleansed of all the dust accumulated for years, and the fire of conditional life has been extinguished, and there's no repeated birth and death. And other beneficial results are that there's benediction for humanity at large, because the mantra yagya spreads the rays of benediction. This is how Lord Chaitanya puts it. So it's very extraordinary results that and highly beneficial that come from this yagya at this present time that can be performed. So the Sankirtan yagya, it actually gives, these are more of the beneficial results. It gives life to transcendental knowledge. And another beneficial effect is that it increases transcendental bliss. So
Yes, one often has the experience that if one goes out on Sankirtan and one is studying the Vedas the day after, things seem so much clearer. So this is that particular aspect of that this yagya gives life to transcendental knowledge. So the reason this is so is because Krishna is present in his name and he comes to one in great kindness. So, you know, the Brahmanas are talking about how Krishna is present in all the elements of the fire sacrifice. So in the same way, the Sankirtan Yagya of the present time has Krishna been present. And it allows one to understand him through these various beneficial results that come to be present. So, Lord Chaitanya puts it this way: "O my Lord, you have so kindly made approach to you easy by your holy name." So the Brahmanas say that the priests, that the pious results obtained are simply manifestations of his opulence. This is their conclusion when they do a breakdown of the different components of the sacrifice. That's, of course, alongside the Vedic hymns and the sacrificial offering. So these opulences that the Brahmanas are talking about, that they say are these different components of the Vedic sacrifice, just in the same way that Lord Chaitanya is giving the various beneficial results of the Sankirtan Yagya, so these Brahmanas have given the various components of the fire yagya, and they're indicating that you can understand Krishna through the various components of the fire yagya. And in the same way, the Sankirtan Yagya allows one to understand Krishna. So when the Brahmanas say that all these components of the fire yagya, that there are just opulences of Krishna, we can understand this from the perspective that it isn't limited, because even though these components can be broken down, Krishna's opulences are limitless. And this he himself says in Bhagavad Gita in 10:19. Krishna says, "But it is I who am the ritual, I the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and the offering." So he's actually personally present in each of those components of the fire sacrifice. And so, you know, it's each component, through each component one can understand something of Krishna. So this particular statement of Krishna's is completely direct and to the point, because he's covering these aspects, these different aspects of the fire sacrifice that the Brahmanas are breaking down in this verse that we did today. So Krishna puts it this way: "Aham kratsura aham yagna svadha ham aham anusada nam mantro aham aham evayam aham agnir aham hutam." So the aham is I am, I am. So he's all of these components. He's the ritual, he's the sacrifice, he's the offering to the ancestors, he's the healing herb, he's the transcendental chant, he's the butter and the fire and the offering. So everything, in the same way that the Maha Mantra is able to give all those benedictions. Like Lord Chaitanya put it, there's the stopping of conditional life, there's the spreading of the benediction to everybody who hears it through the Sankirtan Yagya, so the sacrifice of chanting the holy name, and it also gives life to transcendental knowledge, and it increases transcendental bliss.
So, and all of that is possible because Krishna is his name. So in the way, same way that he's saying all these components of the fire sacrifice, he is every one of those components. In the same way, he is the Maha Mantra. He's present there. So very similar thing. So the sacrificial fire that the Brahmanas are mentioning here, it's, again, going back to that idea that each of the components allows one to understand Krishna. Fire, because there's a sacrificial fire that they mention here, and Krishna has said, I am the butter and the fire and the offering. So fire is one of the five material elements, and it's therefore to be seen as one of the separated energies of Krishna. So earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all together these eight constitute his separated material energies. That's given in Bhagavad Gita, the 7th chapter, the 4th verse. So the reason this is so, why it's a separated energy of Krishna, I mean, if one traces it back, one understands that there are three Vishnus that are perfect and complete expansions of Lord Krishna. And they are assumed, these forms of Vishnu are assumed for the material creation. So the material energy, the one that we've just mentioned, is created by Mahavishnu. So each of the universes have diverse creations within them, or they come to have diverse creations within them as a result of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu entering into them. And finally, each of the universes has the pervading aspect of Lord Vishnu, the third Lord Vishnu, that's Paramatma, who enters into each and every atom. So taking into account how, from a broader perspective, the whole material components of the universe are both created by Lord Vishnu, their differentiation is by a different form of Lord Vishnu, and finally Lord Vishnu as Paramatma entering into those different components means that when you're breaking down the material components into earth, water, fire, air, and ether, still there are coming from Lord Vishnu, who is a perfect and complete expansion of Lord Krishna. So therefore, when you talk about the fire, the sacrificial fire, being Krishna, or as he himself says, he's the fire, we understand it, that it's the his separated energy that's come about through this whole complex form of creation, through the three forms of Lord Vishnu. And the Brahmanas are also reflecting that all these different aspects of sacrifice that are enabling them to understand Krishna is still, however, leaving them with some confusion. And we can look at this particular category of Brahmanas. Or performers of sacrifice. And there's a whole breakdown of the different kinds of yogis who perform sacrifice. So the Brahmanas fall into this category, and this is coming from Bhagavad Gita 4.25. Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them, and some of them offer sacrifices to the fire of the Supreme Brahman. And that's from Bhagavad Gita 4.25. So there are different kinds of sacrifices in terms of different categories. Yet, sacrifice means to sacrifice to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. That's what sacrifice means. So you can't separate out the fact that the sacrifice is ultimately meant for Lord Vishnu, who is also known as yagya or sacrifice. So broadly speaking, sacrifice falls into two categories. Sacrifice of material possessions is the one category. And the second category is sacrifice in pursuit of transcendental knowledge. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains that those who are in Krishna consciousness, they sacrifice all their material possessions for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. So it's like the two categories get collapsed when one is in Krishna consciousness. So it's not that a sacrifice has been performed separately, you know, where one's giving up some of one's material possessions, and that there's a separate category that one is performing some sacrifice for transcendental knowledge. Those who are practicing Krishna consciousness, those two categories get collapsed because the Krishna conscious person is sacrificing all material possessions just naturally for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. So this is different from those who just want some temporary material happiness. So they make some particular sacrifice of some particular material things. And it's with the purpose of satisfying demigods so that their material possessions may in fact even be increased because they want more comfort and more, material wealth. So the confusion for the brahmanas lies in the fact that they're coming to understand the meaning of sacrifice in that they're situated on a platform that's apart from sense gratification. So they are actually pursuing transcendental knowledge. And in fact, you could say that they have become cleansed of the reactions of material existence, because just the fact that they've come to this particular point through the kindness of Krishna, having sent the cowherd boys and their wives having gone to please Krishna, they've come to this point where they have been cleansed of some of the reactions of material existence. They're actually able to have spiritual insight, or some knowledge is coming to them where they're seeing the connection of what they're doing as very intimately connected with Lord Krishna. So the brahmanas' sins, one can say, have been destroyed by sacrifice. And the other result that they're enjoying is they're getting the remnants of that sacrifice. For example, they're getting the food stuff. And this was very important to them because that's part of the reason that they ignored the cowherd boys, because they were thinking, we want to first eat. So they know that that's part of the beneficial effect of performing the sacrifice. They're going to get the remnants of the sacrifice. And they're also going to have greater enjoyment and power. So the brahmanas know this. And indeed, that's the result of any sacrifice of this nature that's performed. In the breakdown of the different sacrifices from the fourth chapter, generally the perfection of yagya, or this kind of fire sacrifice, is that one attains Brahman. So the brahmanas, going back to them, their confusion. So their confusion lies in the fact that, and I'm quoting here, Vishnu, the lord of all mystic controllers, had taken birth in the Yadu dynasty. And they were so foolish that they could not recognize Sri Krishna to be none other than him. So this is what they say their confusion is. They couldn't even recognize Krishna. And they had heard that Krishna was present in the Yadu dynasty. Even with the cowherd boys coming with the request from Krishna, they couldn't recognize. So if one draws from Narada the section where he's dealing with the correct action for a sacrifice, One can understand that the correct action for the Brahmanas would have been the following. And this is quoting from Narada, because he does a breakdown of these sacrifices. So this would have been the correct action for the Brahmanas. When one gets the opportunity of a suitable, auspicious time and place, one should with love offer food prepared with ghee to the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then offer the prasad to a suitable person, a Vaishnava or a Brahmana. So this would have been the correct action for the Brahmanas, or those ritualistic Brahmanas. And then quoting again from Narada, this will be the cause of everlasting prosperity. So this would have been the correct course of action for the Brahmanas. They needed to have offered the remnant of those foodstuff to a suitable person or a Vaishnava, and they had those cowherd boys right in front of them. So they needed to have done that. That would have brought the everlasting prosperity. This is Narada doing a breakdown of these sacrifices. So if one looks at that, one can generalize and say that the more activities in the material world are performed in Krishna consciousness or for Vishnu, the more the atmosphere becomes spiritualized. Because it allows for complete absorption in Lord Vishnu. So that's the same thing with the Sankirtan Yajna in the present day. It allows for more complete absorption in Lord Krishna. And so the Brahmanas, they're thinking that the instrument by which something is offered, or the person to whom something is offered, or the mantras and the presiding deity are all Brahman or spiritual. So they're thinking this. This is their statement in this particular verse. because they're saying, you know, you can understand Krishna better through all these components of fire sacrifice. And they're thinking that that which is offered, the grains or the ghee, is also Brahman. And the oblation that is offered into the receptacle, the offering itself, the fire, all of this is Brahman. And the sponsor, the priest, they're also Brahman. So the ladle and the other items are said to take on the nature of Brahman, since their function depends upon Brahman. And since Brahman pervades them. So remember, this is generally the reflection of yajna, is to attain Brahman. So these Brahmanas, they're thinking in this kind of way. In this form of yajna, or this form of sacrifice, such a search for Brahman is qualified. One becomes qualified for seeing Brahman or seeing the Lord. And this is from a commentary. Everything that I've said, how the Brahmanas would be thinking, is coming from a commentary of Srila Baladev Vijayabhu's son, where he's breaking down this this category of yogis who are performing sacrifices to the demigods. So it's from a commentary on Bhagavad Gita 4:24. So this is the case for these Brahmanas. They were thinking in this kind of way, and they were finally beginning to comprehend there's a connection between Brahman and Lord Krishna personally being present in all these components. So I've come that far in understanding this particular verse, drawing from our acharyas, if there's any thought on it, on the matter.
The sacrifices by the Brahmins are all auspicious. And I was just, the downside of Prabhupada would say, the atmosphere is surcharged with nescience and complete opposite. And then he would say, in this slaughterhouse, society is going on due to a brute mentality. And that was just, when you were saying all these good things, immediately I went to thinking of the downside of what Prabhupada said about the horrible condition.
Thank you, Jitendra Prabhu. Yes, and that's why the particular sacrifice for the present time of chanting the Maha Mantra publicly is having the same beneficial, auspicious effect as a fire sacrifice in a contained space would have, because it's actually spreading benediction to the whole of humanity just by having the Maha Mantra enter the atmosphere in the public space. So, yeah.
Devotees would say to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, they don't like our chanting. And he would say, Krishna likes it.
But actually, even if the persons appear to not like the... it's actually giving them life unknowingly, because it's awakening their soul to that connection with Lord Krishna. So,
Dravida said that he was in New York and he heard the chanting, and he would just, at first he really didn't like it. He went away, and you know, but it always resonated in his mind. And I remember in Calcutta we were doing Harinam, and we were going by these mosques, and these guys would be standing out in front, putting their hands over their ears so they couldn't hear it. So, but attraction and repulsion are one and the same. It makes an impression.
You're resisting. Well, a transcendental sound still enters the heart. Because I recall, you know, one time in Mumbai, sitting at a lecture that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was giving, and I was feeling a little tired that morning, and then I was hearing Maharaj saying, it's all right, even if one is a little sleepy, the transcendental sound vibration is entering the heart. Yeah. So, yeah, still they're getting the benediction, just by being there.
Knowingly or unknowingly.
Yes, yes. So extraordinary. So, yeah, and it's all because of the fact that Krishna is literally the sound vibration of his name. So he's literally present there. So all the great blessings come just from the sound vibration being there. Yeah, transcendental knowledge is in the heart, just like Dravida Prabhu. Found that it remained there.
Didn't Prabhupada say the ether is destroyed, you know, by so much negative, you know, the first things to become contaminated are the ether, then the air, the water, and, you know, the people's consciousness, you know, it's all interrelated.
On the most subtle level, yes, that it's actually cleansing. The cleansing begins on the most subtle level. Yes.
The overall effect is, you know, without the chanting, you know, is... then in Chicago, there's two reporters, Mike Ryko and Ebert, and they had this... Mike Ryko was... kind of criticizing the Hare Krishna movement, but he was saying Krishna, Krishna, Krishna a lot. And Roger Ebert was glorifying, but he wasn't using Krishna's name in his article. I have those articles, but Prabhupada liked Royko's because he was saying Krishna's name more so than Ebert, although Ebert's column was favorable and Royko's column was seemingly unfavorable.
So he was literally having Krishna be present by using Krishna's name. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your kind contribution to Jitendra Prabhu. And thank you everyone so much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.